yes, he is. Amen. Remain standing with me today as we go to the word of the Lord. I trust that you're going to have a wonderful week. It's Christmas season. God's been good to us. Amen. God's been good to us. You can't measure God's goodness by what you see, because the fact that you're here, he's a good God. He's a good God. Amen. I will be mindful of the time this morning, but I have a thought that's been in my spirit all week. Luke chapter 2, verse 20. I'll read one verse of scripture. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. This is after they saw Jesus. So for a title tonight, this morning rather, I want to preach on two words. After Christmas. After Christmas. Would you lift your hands and let's ask the Lord to touch our minds. Father, we're asking the Holy Ghost just over these next few moments, God, that anointing to be present in this place, that you would minister to somebody's heart. Lord, let us not forget why we're here. Let us not forget the reason for the season. Let the Holy Ghost minister today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Can we clap our hands and give him praise right now? Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated today. I am of the opinion that Christmas has evolved through the years. We understand through a biblical standpoint why we celebrate Christmas. Now, I hate to mess you up, but Jesus wasn't born December 25th. In fact, Jesus wasn't born, the calendar year did not start when he was born. I know it's B.C. and A.D., but go look it up. He missed it. He mixed it up. That's not necessarily, now I'm really messing with some of y'all's minds. Go study it out. Because it all evolves around the death of the king at the time. And if you say that it starts when Jesus was born, then the king had already died. So that's not even accurate. Go study it all out. I don't have time to do that this morning. But the day that we designate as Christ's birth was December the 25th. That is the spiritual reason of this day, actually tomorrow, is to celebrate the coming of the Lord. But can I tell you that as Christians, every day should be a celebration of the coming of the Lord. But as it would be when stuff starts with pure origins and it passes through the hands of the world, it will always lose its original meaning. And the world, as it has passed Christmas from one year to the next year to the next year, it has evolved to where now Christ is no longer in Christmas. That's the thumbprint of the world. I read recently this week where a principal was setting the record straight with the, I believe it was the school board that he was talking to, saying it's not the holiday break, it's the Christmas break. You say, well, that's not a big deal. If you just peel a little bit at a time, then you lose its original context and its original meaning. But the world every year, to where now, sometimes, how many of you heard people say this? It don't even feel like Christmas. How many said that right here? We've all at one some point or another, it don't even feel like Christmas. And I realize that we tie things to feelings and smells, et cetera, et cetera. But what's happened is it has become so commercialized that it's no longer what God, God never intended for there to be December 25th Christmas holiday. Anyway, man made that. But we've lost the spiritual aspect and connotation of Christmas. And it's become materialistic, and it's become, the world has left a standard of this is what it means to have a good Christmas. Listen, I can remember, and I've said this, bow biters that my parents, Sesame Street bow biters on my shoe to hold my bows because my shoes kept coming untied. And it was the greatest gift in the world, because the meaning of a gift is not measured by dollars and cents. That's what the world's trying to push out there. And so what, when you think of Christmas, people save all year long. Christmas accounts. They buy gifts. They exchange gifts and fellowship and food. It takes so long to prepare. But what about after Christmas? After Christmas, you've got decorations coming down. You got the new that wears off. You got the debts that you're having to pay for the Christmas. And then you got to look at a new year and you go back to the reality of life. After Christmas, the feeling is no longer there. I'm talking about the worldly side of Christmas. Everything you was looking forward to is no longer there. The excitement and the joy that was present before Christmas is a distant memory by January the 1st. The feeling fades. That's because Christmas every year is getting more and more filtered through the eyes of the world, and it is temporal, it is fleeting. But Christmas, as God intended, which is God coming down to man, it should never fade. It's not materialistic, it's not temporal, but it is eternal. I want to preach about after Christmas today. I want to remind you that there was a reason Christ came to this earth. If our greatest need was information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. Hallelujah. Hey friend, there was a need when Gabriel opened up his mouth and said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The whole reason God came to this earth was to pay a debt that you couldn't pay, was to give you a future that you couldn't afford. If we ought to be thankful for anything today, it ought to be there was a Christmas when God stepped on this earth. Come on, clap your hands. The first Christmas was when Christ came to humanity in the form of a child. God robed himself in flesh, searched the heavens, couldn't find one worthy to offer that spotless blood, and so he clothed himself. That's why the Bible says that there's a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The first Christmas he came to us. What happened after that Christmas? The wise men, the Bible said, were warned by God in a dream not to return the same way that they came. And so the Bible says when they left Christmas, they went home a different way. It's God's intention. When Christmas happens in your life, you don't go home the same way. You leave different than when you encountered him. When the shepherds left Christmas, Bible said they left praising and worshiping and telling everybody what they got to experience. When they left, I'm talking about after Christmas, there was a noticeable change in their life. The second Christmas we find in the book of Acts. The first Christmas, God came to us. The second Christmas happened on the day of Pentecost when God came in us. They were all assembled in the upper room. They all had the same thing in common. There was a promise given upon that resurrection. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That power is going to enable you to be witnesses unto me. That power is going to enable you to be effective and to perform miracles and signs and wonders. And so they went and dwelled. And that second Christmas, Christ came in them. It's the comforter. The power of the Holy Ghost. I said it last week when those shepherds were foretold by the angel. They said, here's your sign. There's going to be swaddling clothes and a manger. And immediately they went to the tower. And that tower was the birthing tower where they sifted through those lambs. And they found the best lambs for sacrifice. They wrapped them in swaddling clothes. And they transported them from the tip from the tower to the temple. And there they found that baby. There was a sign. Well, here's the sign of the second Christmas. Stammering lips in another tongue will I speak to my people. But then the Bible said that tongues is not a sign for those who believe, but it's a sign for those that don't. It's when an unbeliever hears themselves speak in another language, it's a sign that Christmas has happened. Just like when that angel gave the signs to them shepherds, swaddling clothes in a manger will be the sign that Christmas has happened. When you get God in your heart, the sign that it's happened is you're going to begin to speak in a language that nobody had to teach you, that nobody told you what to say, but it was an outward sign of an inner dwelling. I wonder, is anybody here thankful that you had a second Christmas in your life when God filled you with the Holy Ghost and changed your life? What happened after the second Christmas? Well, we find Peter leaving that upper room. Man with a withered hand. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. We see miracles start happening after the second Christmas. We see preaching start happening. We see boldness coming after the second Christmas. But there's one that bothers me. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me. Demas ran with Paul. Which, if he was helping him preach, one would have to assume that he experienced the second Christmas. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in Jesus' name. And here he is helping evangelize the world with Paul. But after his Christmas, the new wore off. After his Christmas, Brother Zach, maybe he got tired of going to church. Three times a week. Why we got to go to church three times a week? I can go once and be saved. I can watch it on the screen and be saved. But I got to believe when he had Christmas, the sign was still on it. It was new. It was fresh. It was the best thing he ever had in his life. Kind of like when they get those new toys It's the greatest thing for 5 minutes. And then you go, a box would have done. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The new wears off. And then in a week, they're bored or they don't have anything to play with in their mind. After Christmas. After Christmas, Demas started looking at the world instead of looking at what he had. How many times have we walked away from an altar and God has just blessed us and showered us and filled us and visited us, and by Thursday we're looking at the world because the news wore off on that Christmas. The shine has worn off. And pretty soon, Demas turned his back on Paul altogether and turned his back on the Lord altogether, having loved this present world. You see, you cannot measure the value of what happens down here when you encounter Christ, because you're not going to see all of what happens down here. That's in the other world. If you're looking at this world going, well, I gave this up and I gave that up and I can't do this and I can't do that. You're looking at everything you lost. But friend, can I tell you, what you gained is greater than anything that you'll ever give up for God. God's never given you the raw end of a deal. You may not see it down here, but you're going to see it on the other side. People have allowed the new to wear off. Why do you think Paul said, stir up the gift? I'm going to tell you, it's like this. Sometimes all you need is a good car wash to stop you from buying a new car. That's all you need. Because at long life's way, that vehicle will start picking up all kind of dirt and mud, French fries, Pringles. I'm talking about my vehicle. I look down, oh, there's a French fry. And you'll start going, this thing gross. But all it takes is a good cleaning. And you'll just stand back and go, that's a good looking car right there. And you saved yourself a lot of money with a $10 car wash. That's what Paul's saying. You'll pick up all kind of stuff along the way. And you'll want to throw in the towel. And you'll focus on everything that's wrong with it. But if you stir up that gift in you and you renew your mind and you let the Holy Ghost give you a good cleansing, then you'll realize it's still the best thing that ever happened to me. It's still the greatest thing that changed my life. There's a third Christmas. First Christmas, Christ came to us. Second Christmas, Christ in us. But there's a third Christmas coming. It's when Christ is going to be with us. And just like there were signs for the first coming, swaddling clothes in a manger. And there's sign for the second Christmas, speaking with other tongues as God fills you with His Spirit. He said, I'm not going to leave y'all without signs. Before I come back, you just keep looking around and you're going to see the signs of my coming. And friend, I'm not here to preach doom and gloom. I'm here to tell you, just read this book. And all you got to do is start watching. And you'll see prophetic fulfillment here and there, all around. God's never going to be accused of catching somebody off guard. Yes, the Bible says like a thief in the night. But that doesn't mean He's not leaving signs. The five wise and the five foolish virgins knew He's coming. They were all there. But five were wise and five were foolish in that five of them didn't prepare like they needed to prepare. When you look around, no man knoweth the day nor the hour. Let me tell you why the Lord didn't say, on December 25th, 2023, at 12 o'clock at night, I'm coming. Let me tell you why. Because anybody that would have been a believer would have lived however they wanted to live until 11:59, and they'd have prayed through. I'm talking about everybody in here. That's what your flesh would do. If you knew, kind of like paying a ticket. No, I don't know anybody that pays it, goes, oh, I got a ticket. Runs home and gets online and pays the ticket. Just excited. Y'all do that? I've had plenty of them. I've never done that. Nobody just is overjoyed. Can't wait to find out how much it is. What they do is they wait. Let me just use me, okay? When's that ticket due? Oh, I got 4 months. And I put it away and I forget about it. And I usually remember the day of or the day before. And I look at it, call them. Hey, don't put a warrant out for me. I'm sending this thing in, okay? Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. That's what our flesh does, is we want to wait till the last minute to try to make things right. And if God would have said, here's the deadline, he would have never had a relationship with humanity. And the whole point of Christmas is to have a relationship with people. It's not about making it to heaven. It's about having a relationship with God. That's what Christmas is all about. And that third Christmas is nigh upon us. What's going to happen after that Christmas? For 1,000 years, he's going to reign in Jerusalem. That same Israel that's at war right now, he's going to be the ruler. And it's not going to be Netanyahu, whatever you call his name. Ain't going to be him. It's going to be Jesus Christ, King of Kings. I'm talking about in the political world, not another world. Just like we have our president and everybody's got their leaders. There's going to be one leader of the world. And it's not going to be the Antichrist. It's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And his throne is going to be in Jerusalem. And everybody in the world is going to look to Jerusalem. After the third Christmas, he's going to rule. And after that 1,000 years, where the lion lays with the lamb and the earth yields its best, then there's going to be that judgment. During that 1,000 years, the church is going to rule the world. It's going to go opposite. Every political leader that you see right now is going to be subservient to the church, and the church is going to be the governmental system of the entire world. And what you do on this earth is going to determine your position in God's kingdom on this earth. I'm in the book. After that will be the white throne judgment, where you will, your destiny will be decided. And after that, the Bible says, there'll be, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Watch this. He said, and there was no more sea. Now, if you read over that, you'll miss the whole significance of it. Because where was John? He was on the Isle. My goodness. He was on, that scared me. He was on the Isle of Patmos. He was separated, he was isolated, and he felt like he was so far from God. And John said, when we get to that place, there's not going to be anything separating us from his presence. Those things in your life that you feel like are separating you from God,
Those barriers that you feel like are existing between you and God, he said, when we get to that other side, there's not going to be anything that's going to separate you. That's why Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he begins to list everything. He said, nothing. Heaven is going to be a total presence of God, and we'll never be separate from it. I'm talking about after the third Christmas. Stand with me right now. Because the world, musicians, you can come. If you look at Christmas through the eyes of the world, you will only see the temporal. You'll see the material. You'll see dollars and cents and lights. And listen, very few people love Christmas more than me. From November and December, my two favorite months, I love it. I love it. I love the feeling. I love all about it. So I'm not saying that you got to be a bah humbug and just live in a cave. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you cannot lose sight of what it's all about. First Christmas, God came to us. Second Christmas, God came in us. But I'm working towards that third Christmas where God dwells with us. The only way I can get there is I got to keep the same enthusiasm after Christmas. When I don't feel like it, I got to keep doing what I need to do. Some would try to undermine the significance of Christmas. But I read this and I thought it was so worth using to close this out. I want you to think about this. When you stop and realize how many prophecies were fulfilled with the birth of the Lord, it's astounding. There was an author named Peter Stoner. He wrote a book entitled Science Speaks. He applies the modern science of probability to just 8 prophecies. Not all of them, but let's just use 8 prophecies regarding Christ and his coming. I want you to pay attention to this. This will blow your mind. This is what he says using the law of probability. The chance that any man might have to fulfill all 8 prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Y'all with me? I don't have time to do a math lesson. Ask somebody if you don't know what that is, but I'm going to help you. That would be 1 in 100 quadrillion. Stoner suggests that we take 10 to the 17th silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas. They will all cover all of the state. If you took the state of Texas, covered them in these silver dollars, they will cover it 2 feet deep. All right, y'all still with me? Now mark one of those silver dollars and stir through the whole mass. Scramble it up. Blindfold a man and tell him he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up that one silver dollar that you marked. What chance would he have of getting that one silver dollar that you marked? He concludes just the same chance that the prophets would have had of writing those 8 prophecies and having them all come true in any one man, providing that they wrote them in their own wisdom. But it wasn't man's wisdom that caused them to pen those prophecies, but it was the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And then the Bible said, there's going to be that one man that could travel the state of Texas and find the one silver dollar that you marked out of all of them. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. He had to be made under the law because that was the only way to redeem them that were under the law, which was us. If he did not come under the law, he could never redeem them that were under the law. Friend, if you only could understand how significant Christmas is, you would never have a Pentecost without a Christmas. Never. I believe today it would be so pleasing to the Lord if we made our way to this altar and we lifted our hands and we prayed that God would renew our hearts today.